prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The Truth Revolution.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meets. I am Dave, that's Jeff. We are pastors at Revolution Church.
We're going to answer some questions today.
We are, there's a bunch of them.
Yeah, sometimes I neglect to put listener questions on the show, even though we answer every single one of them.
Right.
Sometimes I forget to put them on the radio show.
How do you do that?
I don't know. And so we're going to try to catch up and answer a bunch of listener questions today. If we run out of time, we're going to do some other stuff too. Or if we run out of questions, I doubt we will.
Yeah, we do talk a lot.
All right. I'm a little sleepy today, though, Dave. I'm going to wake up.
You better wake up.
We're going to do this. We're also got a Bible contradiction. Hey, we're from Revolution Church. We'd love for you to come out to Revolution Church to learn about God with us. And you know what, man? A lot of people out there, they've been thinking about coming to church here.
Right.
And they've been thinking about it.
And it's you that's listening right now.
You that hears my voice. You've been thinking about coming out here, and you just haven't done it yet. You just haven't gotten off the couch or the bed or whatever. You just haven't walked out the door and come in. Just do it.
Just do it.
Just do it.
You can't handle the truth.
Yes, you can.
Right.
You can handle the truth.
Well played, sir.
Thank you. Whatever you're wearing right now, it's probably fine. It's probably fine. Like, I'm wearing a t-shirt. This is what I wear t-shirts to church, Dave.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, we just come on out. All right. Listener questions. Let's do this, Dave.
All right.
We love science. We love math. We love logic. We love faith and Jesus and God. And let's see if any listeners had any questions about these things.
And we love questions.
We love questions. Right? We love questions.
All right. Question number one. Would a miraculous claim such as Jesus' resurrection require more evidence than would be required for a more regular claim?
It's a very good question. What do you think, Dave?
Depends on the regular claim. If I told you my name was Dave, and you had no real evidence of it, would you ask me for my ID to check?
No, probably not.
No.
Okay.
I don't know. It just depends on the regular event.
Okay, so what type of regular event would you want more evidence for that would be in line with the evidence for Jesus?
I don't know. Because, let's be honest, the most important thing, at least now that I know the truth, is the fact that Jesus lived, died, and rose from the dead, you know? And so I would love to even have more evidence, even though we have adequate evidence. It would be awesome to have more evidence, because then the more evidence we have, the less questions people can ask. Would you quit yawning when I'm talking?
That was not...
Respect.
I'm sorry, I gave you
that.
I'm
not sure if you did that on purpose or not.
I'm not sleeping. We got a new baby. I'm not sleeping.
Oh.
All right. Anyway, no, I agree with you, man. Like I agree with you that if the claim to Jesus was a regular claim, then we would just want the same amount of evidence. And so I guess I would agree with what the listener's getting at here. I think Jesus' resurrection is a miraculous claim.
Right.
Should we require more evidence than for a more regular claim? Well, I think we should require evidence that is in line with the claim, as this listener is suggesting, as well as evidence that is in line with what you might expect historically, your subject matter. For instance, if someone said to me, hey, I will sell you this couch. It is the most comfortable couch in the world.
Really?
Okay. I probably would examine that claim. Now, that's a pretty extraordinary claim.
I would have just bought it.
And so I probably would say, hey, well, have you sat in it? What does it do? I'd want to maybe try to sit in it, right? But I'm not going to order a scientific study on the couch.
Right.
Why? Because that sort of investigation doesn't line up with the claim.
Right.
I'm actually going somewhere with this. Okay. I'm not just talking about couches.
That would probably cost more money than the couch itself.
Exactly. Like, so you can do these things that end up being kind of ridiculous. Well, a lot of times people are like, well, I want to know what the scientific evidence for God is. For the scientific evidence for Jesus' resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about science for a second. Okay. A lot of science, not all of it, but a lot of science is an experiment where you can test and repeat. Jesus is not, the resurrection is not a test and repeat event.
Right.
In that sense, you're not going to come up with scientific evidence for Jesus' resurrection. Now, can you use science to come up with knowledge and information that would push you in one direction or another?
Yes.
Absolutely. And so what types of evidence are you looking? When you say, I want extra evidence because this is a miraculous claim, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? So an event that happened 2,000 years ago in a society where they didn't do scientific experiments, where what we have to go off of now is testimony, mm-hmm. eyewitness testimony, and government testimony.
Right.
We have to base our belief on the evidence available to us.
Right. And one of the things, you know, touching on that, we look at this, it's less scientific evidence and more like courtroom evidence.
There you go. The courtroom type procedure is mm-hmm. exactly what we want to follow.
Right. And then they have murder cases and stuff like that all the time. Mm-hmm. And they may not have scientific evidence to support whatever mm-hmm. they're trying to push, but there's convictions all the time.
And similarly, okay, so you have a murder and you can't do a scientific experiment on a murder. And some people are like, you can. Haven't you ever seen CSI? Okay. They're doing scientific experiments on the data.
Right.
And they're using that data to extrapolate on whether or not someone committed the murder or not. So, you know, you find a fingernail clipping in the dead body and you do a DNA test. You've done a DNA test on that fingernail mm-hmm. clipping. Now, you're going to use that evidence. You're going to say, you know, we should have Jay Warner Wallace on. He's been on the show. He's a cold case detective. All right. No, I'm not going to call him right now. And so he's a cold case detective who wrote books about Christianity, right? You do fact checking and DNA testing, scientific evidence on the data. But after you get information back, then you've got to make conclusions about what that means. Was the fingernail just one that was on someone's coffee table and it fell on the person when they died? Mm-hmm. Or was it from the murderer who was choking them and got their fingernail ripped off?
And here's one of the things, too, that might be just as telling. Because in a murder case, you can have evidence that points in another direction.
Yeah.
But there is really no evidence to point to a different fact mm-hmm. happening than Jesus Christ living, dying, and raising from the dead.
Okay, so here's where we come back to it then. Thank you, Dave. So you have all sorts of evidence. You have all this historical evidence of Peter, Paul, James, the brother of Jesus, mm-hmm. all these people who are rejecting Jesus, saying, I don't know him, I don't like him, I want to kill people who follow him, he's my brother, I think he's crazy for thinking that he's God.
Right.
They all completely change their lives around. Completely, right? They abandon their traditions. They abandon their family motifs. They abandon getting higher up in society. They abandon their jobs. They abandon everything. Why? Because they say they saw Jesus risen from the dead. That's one thing, okay? Three eyewitnesses who didn't just say they saw it, but they changed everything in their life based upon it.
Yeah.
Right? You have the governments who admit that the tomb was empty. You have the governments who admit that they actually killed Jesus. You have prophecies written hundreds of years mm-hmm. before saying what Jesus is going to do. Go to our shows about statistical probability.
See, now you're just piling on.
Right. Well, this is the point.
Right.
Right. And so these aren't scientific evidences because you don't have scientific evidence for something like this.
Right.
You have historical evidence. You have prophetic evidence. Okay. We know these scriptures were written far before Jesus, and they prophesied the exact things that Jesus did.
Right. Amen.
Now you can do the math on that. You can come out to a conclusion like, wow, this was impossible. This shouldn't have happened. But it did. All right. He was born as a Jew in the tribe of Judah, in the line of Abraham, in the line of David. He was born in Bethlehem. He was born of a virgin, which we don't know how to calculate that odds. But you know, he lived in Egypt.
One and one.
He lived in Egypt for a while, then came out. He was called a Nazarene. I mean, mm-hmm. all these different things. People gambled for his clothes when he was dying. I mean, many different things that were prophesied, 143 different prophecies actually about Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so you have all of that stuff. And then you have the fact that the entire church came out of this.
Right.
That Jesus existed at the exact right moment when the Romans were building roads for the gospel to spread. You know, is this all just a big cosmic accident? Did all these prophecies just happen to get fulfilled, and they just happened to get fulfilled at the right time when most of the world spoke the same language,
right.
and most, then you could travel around the world for the first time,
yeah.
and it just so happened that all these men just quit all their jobs and left their families right. to follow Jesus.
All things being equal and without God in the mix,
mm-hmm.
Christianity doesn't take off. period.
Right, it shouldn't have.
It gets killed out by the Roman Empire,
mm-hmm.
you know, but people saw the truth. They fought for the truth as far as, you know, pushing against the kind of troubles that they were going through.
And when you say, just to clarify here, David, when you say they fought for the truth.
They didn't fight per se.
They didn't kill anybody
for
it.
Right, they didn't. Yeah, it was, they basically, they stood up for what they believed
in.
Yeah. Is what I'm saying.
Awesome. Okay, you know what? I think, so would it require more evidence than a regular claim? I think yes. As long as you understand that the evidence is in line with the type of evidence you'd expect for the type of thing you're talking about.
Right.
So, yeah, and I think there is more evidence for right. Jesus. All right.
All right, question number two.
Oh, question number two.
Yes, we're moving right on up. I do
Don't
find...
Don't get too proud of this technological terror you've constructed.
Nice.
That this quote doesn't actually even make sense right there.
No, it doesn't. All right, that's fine. I do find the cumulative case argument compelling and feel like I'm very close to accepting the cumulative case to theism at least.
That's great. Now, actually, let's just pause there for a second. Let's explain the cumulative case to our listeners.
Okay. It's like I was talking earlier about piling on.
Mm-hmm.
That's... basically a part of the cumulative case.
Exactly, you know? The cumulative case. So this listener has come to the conclusion that look, there isn't just one evidence for God. So we do a lot of shows. We've done hundreds of shows. And there's not just one show that convinces someone to right. believe in God.
Absolutely.
But after you hear the cosmological argument and the teleological mm-hmm. argument and the vertical cosmological argument, the Kalam as well, and you hear the ontological argument and you see the prophetic argument and you see the historical argument.
He likes to argue, you can tell.
I love arguing. Right after you pile all this evidence, it's like, wow, there is kind of a mountain here.
Right.
That's cumulative. It's cumulatively built up the evidence.
It's like when I was a kid and my mom would tell me, go clean your room.
Yeah.
And I went and cleaned my room. I'd have shoved everything under the bed. There's a point where I couldn't shove anything else under the bed without the bed actually getting taller. Now, did my mom come in and say, oh, this room is so clean?
Mm-mm.
No. Because why? She knew me and she checked under the bed. There was a cumulative case of me not cleaning my room under my bed.
Very nice. All right. So that's the cumulative case. And this guy is saying he thinks he's about ready to accept that.
Right. He says, the main problem I find now is that I find it hard to just believe. No matter how hard I try, nor how compelling I find the evidence, it's hard to describe and ridiculous to me as I always thought that I'd follow the evidence wherever it led. Have you ever come across anything like this before?
Ooh, this is one of my most favorite questions we've ever got, I think.
Yeah.
Tell me, Dave, what do you think about this? Have we ever come across something like this before?
Absolutely.
And what do you think's going on?
It's just sometimes people get to the point where they see the truth, but the truth doesn't make them want to change. You have to want to change. You know, you can have a stop sign staring you straight in the face, but if you don't want to stop at the stop sign, you're going to go through it, regardless of what the consequences are.
True.
You know? But that's the whole point, is that, you know, if you are faced with whatever you know is right, but you don't want to follow it, you're not going to follow it.
I actually had a friend out in California and when I lived out there, and he wanted to know, like, he was an atheist. He wanted to know why I believed in God. Mm-hmm. So I gave him some reasons, and he's like, nah, I don't like those. And so we talked a little bit more, and, like, over the course of a year or so, I explained most of my reasons.
Yeah, and kept shoving things under the bed.
And eventually I sit down with him, and I'm like, dude, come on. Like, I've given you just about everything. Like, what? I don't understand. Like, do you still not believe in God? And you know what he says to me?
Hmm.
He says, well, you know, you've really pretty much shown me that God exists, that Jesus is Lord. And I mean, it's true. It's probably true.
That's an exciting point there.
But he goes, but I don't want to change the way I'm living.
Right.
Actually, what he said is, I still want to curse.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bunch of other things. He was using that as an example. He goes, but I still want to cuss. And I was like, what? He's like, he goes, I'll probably have to get into a car accident or something to make me scared.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, so there you have it. Now, we're going to talk more about this when we come back.
Okay.
But I think it's totally true that until our hearts are invested, our brain, it doesn't matter as much.
Right.
You can know the truth. It doesn't mean you've accepted
it. Yeah, there's a difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge.
When we come back, we're going to talk about how to accept it. How to accept it.
Right on.
So, yeah. Dave, where should they go in the meantime?
TruthRevolution.tv.
And they should come on out to Revolution Church.
They should.
All right. Our church's website is revo.church. Our radio show's website is TruthRevolution.tv. You can donate there. You can ask questions there. You can send us silly memes there. Whatever you want. Hey, we'll be right back after this break.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Every single person who hears this audio will face a difficult day.
Some of you lost a loved one, are facing personal problems or financial problems.
You are wondering where God is.
And if you aren't right now, you'll probably be at that point sometime.
Psalm 46 is an awesome chapter reminding us of who God is in times of trouble.
God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble, it says.
It continues, therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging.
Why don't we always feel like that? Why, when the waters roar and life gets crazy, do we feel like he's not near?
A little bit later, verse 10, we find a clue.
It says, be still and know that I am God.
This literally means be silent, be idle, almost be still and then know he is God.
Too often we cannot sense the presence of God when we need him because we don't take the time to rest quietly and meditate on the knowledge that he is God.
TruthRevolution.tv.
I love tattoos.
I love science.
We both love God. Yeah, you can have tattoos, science, and faith in Jesus at the same time.
Revolution Church would love to have you come on out.
Online at revo.church. That's R-E-V-O.church.
Our service times are Sunday at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 5 p.m.
Try us 3 weeks in a row and...
and your tattooed scientific self may like it. Revo.church is our website. That is...
revo.church.
R-E-V-O.church.
Do you love Truth Revolution?
Of course they do, Dave.
Well, if you do, or...
or if you appreciate the fact that thousands of people are being taught that Christianity is compatible with science and logic.
Or if you simply love the fact that we hear from people often who say, this show changed my life, I love Jesus.
Then consider a donation.
You can visit TruthRevolution.tv or Revolution Church and donate.
We don't get paid from this show.
But it's our goal to give, give truth, give knowledge, give encouragement.
And your giving keeps all of our giving going.
Ephesians 1:4 says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. We were chosen by God to be saved before the world began. But listen to the rest of this verse. It says, in love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. God chooses to describe his grand cosmic plan for the redemption of humankind as adoption. Now God chooses words carefully. And Jewish theologians, including Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, believed that history from the beginning was moving towards a pinnacle mountaintop when God would redeem his people, that is Jesus Christ redeeming us. And all the climax of all history, physical, emotional, spiritual, is described as our adoption because of Jesus. Consider adoption today. God uses the word as the pinnacle of what he's done for you and me. And it can be the pinnacle of what you do for another human being in this world.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back. Why don't people just believe when they're faced with evidence?
And this is essentially question number two. Listener question number two. Right? He understands the cumulative case. He's very close to accepting theism, at least, if not Christianity. And he's like, but evidence is compelling, but I feel kind of ridiculous because I always thought I'd follow wherever the evidence went, but now I find it hard to believe.
Right. It is quite normal, but that doesn't keep it from being a silly argument.
That's right. It is quite normal. So hear that. It just happens to lots of people.
Yeah.
Because they see it, they know the truth, but they just don't want to do it. And there's a few reasons why this happens. Okay. One reason is Jesus said that people don't want to step into the light because they're scared that the light will expose their deeds.
Oh, yeah.
And you may be thinking, well, I'm not scared of anything. But you may be resistant because you know once God's light comes in, you know God's going to ask you to live differently. You know you're going to have to confess your sins to him. You know you're going to have to be getting into relationships with people who know God. Right. Like, you know stuff's going to change in your life, and you're kind of like, oh gosh, do I really want to do this?
The answer should be yes, because there's not one Christian that's had their sinful life exposed to the light that suffered in the long run.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you may suffer at first, but that burden gets lighter and lighter and lighter as you go, as you become more used to the Spirit, more used to the light. Your eyes aren't quite so blinded, and you begin to live in a way that Jesus wants you to live, not because you're changing it, but the Spirit's changing you from within.
Yeah. And I want to get to that Spirit changing this thing in a minute. But even I want to talk about this point of like stepping into the light. And I mean, I'm sure a lot of our listeners are feeling the same thing. We started the show by saying, hey, some of you know you want to come to church. You haven't done it yet. Because there is this motivating factor of like, I really do have to be willing to change my life. Mm-hmm. And that's a hard thing to do. I recognize it's a hard thing to do. Sometimes you just got to bite the bullet and say, okay, I'm going to do it. My brain knows it's the right thing to do. And my brain has to lead my feelings.
Right.
All right. Your brain has to lead your feelings. And that's why we say, come to church, come here three times. And then once you've been here three times, you're going to be like, okay, now I feel more right about it. Like mm-hmm. it feels normal. I feel good. I'm not anxious anymore.
Right.
I understand what's going to happen.
Right. And that's not to say that you'll never feel convicted mm-hmm. by something that's being preached, but we always follow up the feel convicted thing with when we just want to love people, man.
Yeah. You know? And they're just scared of the unknown. You know, yeah. they're going to come to church. What's going to be like, look, if you come to our church, at least we don't make you introduce yourself to anybody. Like there's going to be people who walk up and say hi, mm-hmm. But that's about it.
Yeah. People will introduce themselves to you.
Yeah. But you're not going to get on stage or nothing. I mean, you're just, we're going to do
that
like
comes later.
We're going to, we're going to do some songs. People are going to sing. There's no craziness going on. People are just singing along with the songs. Mm-hmm. We use some announcements. I do a sermon. Get out of there. It's really simple. Mm-hmm. Just do that. Just do it. Now, Jesus also, David mentioned the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who reveals truth to us. Actually, this is part of our CRACKED acronym. C-R-A-C-K-E-D. R stands for revealed. The Holy Spirit reveals the truth to you, and the Holy Spirit makes you able to receive the truth. So if you're having a hard time actually giving yourself to God, I would suggest praying and saying, God, I do want you. I do want to follow you. I'm having a hard time doing it. I believe in you. I believe you're true. Help my heart to go there too. Just ask him.
Right.
Ask him to help you with that. So there's a couple of reasons. There's more, but really, you know, if you work on your heart and then you follow your brain instead of your feelings, you'll get there eventually.
Amen.
All right, the question number three.
I consider myself a Christian, have been saved and baptized, but I don't really think I should participate in communion because to me, it's a very Catholic thing and I don't agree with a whole lot of communion practices. Is there a specific reason that I should participate?
Okay. There are specific reasons you should participate. Mm-hmm. And I understand this person maybe was former Catholic or maybe they just don't agree with Catholics. I'll just point out that communion isn't just a Catholic thing. Now, generally speaking, Catholics view communion differently than we do. They have a view, something else called transubstantiation. They think the wine and the bread literally becomes the body and the blood of Christ. Right. That's a really simple explanation. But we see it more as a symbol to remember his death. But either way, the reason we do it is because Jesus told us to do it.
Right.
He said, do this in remembrance of me. Okay, do this to remember what I've done for you. And that bread represents his body. The wine represents his blood. And we eat it and we drink it to remember the blood that was shed and that his body was broken. Right. And we also do this to remember that we're all part of his body together. And we are in unity as believers in Christ. So we do it because Jesus told us to. And it's a good reminder of what he's done.
Amen.
And it's a good reminder that we're all unified as Christians. So, all right, you know what? Let's do a Bible contradiction. All right.
Okay.
Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction today. Where was Jesus on the sixth hour of the crucifixion?
This is from the Thinking Atheist. Mm. We've done this before, but
yeah,
we'll do it again.
Might as well hammer it, right? Mark 15, 32 through 33 said they were crucified with him. They that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. So Christ was already on the cross in the sixth hour, or at 9 a.m.
Okay.
Okay, John 19, however, 14 and 15. And it was the preparation of the Passover in about the sixth hour. And he said unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. So it was 9 a.m. as Jesus was being judged at Pilate's palace?
Yeah, so was at 9 a.m. was he already on the cross or was he being judged? And a lot of people actually put this at 6 a.m. because it says at the sixth hour.
Right.
So it's interesting that they chose to say 9 a.m.
Which means the day starts at 3 a.m.? Whose day starts like that?
So,
anyway
Dave, what time do NFL football games come on?
I would say noon.
But.
And 3.
But there's a station that has our regular show on it in Ohio. And in Ohio, it doesn't come on at noon. It comes on at 1. Is it the same game? It can't be. It's different times.
Right. Yeah, they must...
Whatever. Oh, time zones make a difference, right?
Right.
So you could say the game comes at noon. They could say the game comes on at 1, and you're both right. This is a similar idea. Okay, we're going to use our
Jesus wins in 2 different time zones?
No.
Okay.
I'll explain. Okay, our cracked acronym, we want to use credibility, meaning we're just going to assume that these guys aren't so dumb that they got the time wrong.
Right.
But also the context. Okay, the geographical context was that there was different time systems available to them back then. Okay, they didn't separate their time zones based on geography. They based their time zones on nationality. Okay, so Mark, who wrote Mark chapter 15 that they quoted, he was using the Jewish time system, while John, who wrote John 19 they quoted, was using the Roman time system. Right. The Jewish time and the Roman time was using different things. Jewish time starts at 6 p.m. or 6 a.m., so the third hour would have been 9 a.m.,
there you go.
Just like they said. But the Roman time starts at midnight, so the sixth hour would be 6 a.m.
Yeah.
So Jesus was on trial at 6 a.m., and then crucified at 9 a.m. Totally fits. Not a problem at all when you understand their time zones.
That, friends, is a speedy trial.
Bible contradiction.
All right. Question number 4.
All right. Question number 4 is a long one, so strap in.
All right.
All right. I have been watching your podcast, and in one with Hugh Ross, you very insincerely, that is what I saw, misrepresented the use of statistics, which the average person who just wants to agree with you anyway would have been snowed by. He was throwing a bunch of numbers out of his bum, and you were agreeing with him, likely for entertainment purposes. But in the end, you stated that the world being fine-tuned was more likely than someone winning Powerball 160 times in a row without buying a ticket, which can't work because you actually have to participate to win. However, giving you the benefit of the doubt, I believe you're using hyperbole for entertainment purposes. But you can't win anything if you don't actually play. This is bad math.
Okay, now, the data exists, right? The research methodology exists as well. So this, he's not talking out his bum.
Right.
All right, that's why he's written the book and some other dozen books at the subjects at hand. Excellent one if you want to see why the universe is the way it is. And his exceptional book, Who is Adam? That one's more about biochemistry, genetics than it is astronomy, but he wrote with Dr. Rana. Now, I don't think anything on our show is misrepresented. Yeah, we said pretty much this, it's like the same as winning the Powerball without buying a ticket. Mm. Like the odds that all these things in our world could come together is pretty much the same as buying a Powerball and winning without a ticket. Of course, it was hyperbole to make a point, but anyone short of a gorilla would have gotten that.
Right.
Okay? Because the actual number given was, quote, and this is what we said on the show. The statistical probability is 1 in 10 to the 1,200th power, which is roughly the probability you're going to win the California lottery 160 consecutive times, buying one ticket each time. Or, as my mathematician friend put it, it's not different than winning the California lottery 160 consecutive times when you buy no ticket at all. Now, that's not a misrepresentation. It is roughly the same as winning when you buy no ticket at all. Right. Why? Because 1 in 10 to the 1,200th power...
is insane.
...is basically the mathematical definition of impossible.
Right.
That is the mathematical definition of impossible. So when you pointed out that it's impossible to win without buying a ticket...
you're right!
Yeah, that means you got the point. It's impossible for our world to have all of these things put together without someone like a god intervening.
Amen.
It's not an accident. The point should then be clear. I'm glad you got the point. Statistically, the likelihood that all the astronomical, planetary, and galactic features, as well as natural laws lining up perfectly to create a planet that hosts intelligent, introspective, self-aware life is impossible. Unless there was some intelligence behind it, like a god.
Amen.
All right, thanks for listening to the Truth Revolution. We had 2 more listener questions we didn't even get to.
We'll have to do them later.
All right, thanks for listening. TruthRevolution.tv is the website. Revolution Church is the church. 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 5 p.m. We'd love for you to come out.
Be there.
You know you've been thinking about it.
Yeah, just do it.
Just do it. Just make your brain knows you should go. Just make your feelings obey your brain today.
Right.
Just do it.
1 foot in front of the other.
11 a.m. and 5 p.m. You still got time. If you're listening on the radio, come on out. You can always watch live at live.revo.church if you want to get warmed up to the idea. You know, you've been thinking about it long enough. Just come out anyway. We've got a great kids program. Love to have you. Don't care what you wear.